The Book of Habakkuk was written by the prophet Habakkuk sometime between 610 and 605 BC. Unlike other prophetic books, which warn and accuse Israel, Habakkuk offers a view into the prophet's own personal struggles, dealing with the pain caused by Judah's wickedness. Amidst the rampant violence and corruption of Judah, Habakkuk struggles to see how God can be good. He cries out for an explanation, and God answers, promising the sin of Judah will be judged and dealt with by the force of Babylon. Confused, Habakkuk suggests that Babylon is far more corrupt than Judah, surely deserving a harsher judgment. God reminds Habakkuk that he holds every nation accountable for their actions, Babylon being no different. He will allow their propensity toward revenge and violence to bring judgment upon themselves. Habakkuk expresses his fear of Judah's coming trials, but rejoices in the chance to trust the Lord's sovereignty, even in such perilous times.
All right, so just before the services yesterday, we were previewing that video, and one of the band members said, "Well, that sounds familiar." And if you've been here over the last several weeks, you know why it sounds familiar, because it's very familiar. And this is what I was dreading when we came up with this series. So we came up with this crazy idea of teaching a 66-week series where we cover one book of the Bible every week, straight through from Genesis to Revelation. And I knew when we were putting this sucker together that right in the middle, we were going to have 17 weeks in the prophets. And I knew that just about this time in the prophets, we were going to begin to go, okay, I've heard this one before, because we are week 14 of 17 going through the prophets. Now, it's starting, in a sense, to sound like a broken record. And the first week of the prophets, we covered what the melody was going to be in this broken record. That every week in the prophets, we're going to see essentially the same message, and it's this, that sin leads to death. Repentance leads to life, and that God will save his people. And so we've heard that message over and over and over through the prophets for the last 14 weeks, this same melody. In fact, if you've been paying attention, this melody has come in two very familiar refrains. The first refrain is that Israel or Judah, they will basically disobey God, and then God will call them to repentance, and they will repent, and then they'll go back to disobeying God. And then God will call them to repent, and then they'll repent, and then they'll go back to disobeying God. That's the first refrain. And the second refrain is that Israel or Judah or one member of those people groups would call out to God, "Why? Why is this happening?" And then God will say, "Because I'm doing something," and then God will do that thing. Okay, so today we land on Habakkuk. And the first time I sat down and read these three chapters, I was like, oh no, it's exactly the same message. It's the same message, the same broken record, the same melody. In fact, the same two refrains are in Habakkuk. And so I just put my Bible away and said, I'm going to read it again later. And so then later I picked it back up and I read the three chapters of Habakkuk again. I'm like, dang it, I literally have nothing. And so then I was like, okay, I'm going to read it again. And so I read through Habakkuk again, and as I was reading it, and I landed on chapter 3, I hit a verse that made me go, oh, wow. And by the way, that's a good lesson in Bible reading. No matter how many times you've read it, there's going to be that moment where it's going to sound boring, and this moment where you're going to have an, oh, wow. And for me, the, oh, wow, was directly related to a season of life that I'm entering into. And I was like, this is what I need right now. Let me give you a little bit of a backstory. So last February marks my 20-year anniversary of being in full-time ministry. This coming November marks 17 years of me being a pastor here at RIV. And according to my calculations, being about 46 years old, that puts me right in the middle, right? It puts me in midlife crisis land. So like right there in the center of my professional ministry career. And over the course of this season, I've been watching Steve Summerlott and Paul Denherter, two of the pastors at Riverview who have been here all 40 years that Riverview has been in existence. As I've watched these men turn 65, I've watched them in a lot of ways run the race well. They have run the race so well. And so to that end, the elders and I together have decided that this year I'm going to take a sabbatical. To make sure that I can run the race well. And that means that this summer, in June, July, and August, I'm going to be taking a sabbatical. And practically what that means is you're just not going to see me around very much over the course of those 3 months. If I show up at services, I'll be showing up with my family to attend services. There'll be other guys teaching more than they normally do. Please be praying for them, a lot more workload for them. For those of you at Westside and Rio Town, there'll be people teaching on video that you normally don't see on video, but maybe they're people that you're normally used to seeing live. I'm going to be getting completely out of social media during this season. I'm putting all of my email to go into a black hole of oblivion so that when I get back in September, I have nothing waiting for me. I'll have an empty inbox. And so you're welcome to email anything you'd like over the summer. I will never see it. So we're going to have it all go to this black hole of oblivion. I'm going to be traveling and decompressing and visiting some other churches and reading. And the thing I'm most excited about, oddly, is I'm going to be going through an intentional and guided process that's going to do a deep dive on my life and ministry. And that is going to be different. And the summer is going to be very different for me than what I am used to. So what does this have to do with Habakkuk? Well, I'm reading through Habakkuk, and I realized that this story is really, really familiar, like all of the prophets, but it was new to Habakkuk. He was experiencing this for the very first time. And for many of us, we're in the summer. This is one of those times where we embark on different than normal seasons, seasons that are new to us. For some of us, it's a new job or a new relationship or graduating high school or graduating college or graduating law school or medical school. Summers have weddings and vacations and kids home for the first time in like 9 months and all those sorts of things. And all of these things that we experience that are new to us or different for us in that season of life, they're really, really familiar things. They're things that other people have gone through over and over and over, but they are new to us. And what I saw in Habakkuk was a key to how to deal with these new seasons of life, but I'm not going to spoil it for you. We're going to start in Habakkuk 1 and work our way there. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Habakkuk today. We're Habakkuk 1, starting in verse 2. And what happens here is Habakkuk prays to God. And this is what he prays. He says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help and you don't listen? Or cry out about violence and you don't save? Why do you force me to look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Oppression and violence are right in front of me. Strife is ongoing and conflict escalates. This is why the law is ineffective and justice never emerges. For the wicked restrict the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted." Okay, so in a vacuum, you look at that and you go, yeah, we've heard this before, haven't we? Like, he's calling out to God. He's like, why? Why is this happening? He's like, there's stuff happening in this world that I cannot believe my eyes. There's violence in this world, and God isn't saving anyone. There's injustice in this world, and I am forced to look at it helpless. There's wrongdoing, and God seems to be tolerating it. There's oppression and strife and conflict, and I don't see God anywhere. And then I love what Habakkuk does. He draws his own conclusion. He says, I got this figured out. This is why the law is ineffective. What is he saying? Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, God, you came up with this religion, and it ain't working. Like, I hate to break it to you, God, but your law doesn't work. It's ineffective. Justice doesn't emerge, he says. And when justice does emerge, it is perverted. In other words, great job, God. Way to go inventing this religion. It doesn't help anybody. So God responds to him. And God says, Look at the nations and observe. Be utterly astounded, for I am doing something in your day that you will not believe when you hear about it. Now, again, we've seen this sort of message from God before. I'm doing something, right? But he says something that he doesn't normally say. At least I haven't found as much in the other prophets. He says to Habakkuk, I'm doing something, and you're not going to believe it when you hear about it. In other words, God is the inventor of clickbait. God says, I'm about to do 15 things, and number 13 will blow your mind. Right? And so God is like, I'm gonna do some stuff. You're not gonna believe it when I tell you about it. And so then he goes ahead and he tells him what he is going to do. Listen to what he says. He says, look, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter, impetuous nation that marches across the earth's open spaces to seize territories not its own. They are fierce and terrifying. Their views of justice and sovereignty stem from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and more fierce than wolves of the night. Their horsemen charge ahead. Their horsemen come from distant lands. They fly like eagles, swooping to devour. All of them come to do violence. Their faces are set in determination. They gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings, and rulers are a joke to them. They laugh at every fortress, build siege ramps to capture it. They sweep by like the wind and pass through. They are guilty. Their strength is their God. So God says, you are not going to believe it when I tell you what I'm about to do. I'm raising up these evil Chaldeans. And you know what Habakkuk's response is? I don't believe it. He's like, I can't believe, no, you're not doing that, are you, God? And you can see why he's having that reaction. Because listen to what God's saying. God says, I am raising up guilty men to do the stuff you just prayed to me about and asked me to not let the guys do. Let that sink in for a second. Let me say it a different way. I'm raising up evil men who are going to do evil things, and in that they're going to accomplish my will. Let me say it another way. We pray to God, God, save me from evil. That's a good prayer. It's in the Lord's Prayer. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. God, deliver me from evil. And God's response is, well, I'm using that evil to do something in your life. And our response is the same as Habakkuk. We're like, say what? Like, I can't believe that you're telling me that this is what you are doing, God. And so Habakkuk now has another prayer, and in this prayer, he verbally processes, which is hysterical. So you can see him working this out in his head as he's verbally processing back to God. He says this, he says, are you not from eternity, Lord my God, my Holy One, you will not die. In other words, God, you are from eternity, so all the way into eternity past you existed, and you will not die, so you're going to extend all the way to eternity future, which means you've seen everything that has happened, everything that will happen. You exist eternally in both directions. This is who you are, God. Lord, you appointed them to execute judgment. My rock, he actually gives him a title. God, you are my rock. My rock, you destined them to punish us. You're using wicked people doing wicked things. I don't get it. Now, you've heard of mansplaining, right? This is about to become what I like to call humansplaining, where a human explains to God how he should be doing things. And so this is where he goes. He says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You can't tolerate wrongdoing, so why do you tolerate those who are treacherous? Why are you silent while one who is wicked swallows up one who is more righteous than himself? What's he saying? He's saying, Israel good, Chaldeans bad, God. Like, why are you using this one to punish this one? And then he's like, maybe an illustration would help. Let me give you one. You have made mankind like the fish of the sea, like marine creatures that have no ruler, and the Chaldeans pull them up with a hook and catch them in their dragnet. and gather them in their fishing net. That's why they're glad and they rejoice. They're like, God, do you understand that you created your people and the Chaldeans kill your people? Do you see what we got going on here, God? That's why they sacrifice to their dragnet and burn incense to their fishing net. For it is these things are for by these things their portion is rich and their food is plentiful. In other words, he's like, God, I'm not sure if you understand this. Not only are they killing people, but they're worshiping the instruments of war that they use as if they're gods. God, that's idolatry. They're worshiping a false god. I'm not sure if you caught that, God. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slaughter nations without mercy? Are you going to let this continue? And then my favorite part, Habakkuk says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. In other words, God, I know this is a lot to process. I'm going to give you a minute. I'm going to go over here. And I'm just going to wait, let you think about it, and I'm going to process how I'm going to respond to what your response to me is going to be, God. So I'm going to just give you a minute. I don't know if God took a minute. We just know the next verse the Lord answers. The Lord answered me, write down this vision, clearly describe it on tablets so one may easily read it. In other words, I want you to get out your pencil and write legibly. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity, but the righteous one will live by faith. So what he says is, listen, I want you to write this down legibly so everybody can get it. I'm doing something, I'm up to something, and it is going to happen sometime in the future. It's not going to be late. It's going to hit at exactly the time that I want it to hit. It's going to happen down there, and you can have two responses to this. You can have an inflated ego without integrity, or you can have a righteous response to the fact that I'm doing this. And if you're going to have the righteous response, you are going to have to live by faith. The righteous one will live by faith. Even if you've never read Habakkuk, I bet if you're a follower of Jesus, you've heard that phrase. And you've heard that phrase because three times in the New Testament, Habakkuk is quoted. And this is the phrase that's quoted. Let's look at the three times it shows up in the New Testament, and then we're going to swing back to Habakkuk. The first is in Hebrews. The context of Hebrews is that the Jewish Christians were being repeatedly persecuted by the non-Jewish Christians for becoming Christians. This is what they're facing. And this is what the author of Hebrews says. He says, remember the earlier days when after you had been enlightened, in other words, after you saw that Jesus was the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for, after you've been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. He's like, you remember that? Remember when it was so hard? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, and at other times you were companions of those who were treated that way, for you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions. What he's saying is being a Christian in the first century was incredibly hard. And when you gave your life to Jesus, you were facing taunts and afflictions, imprisonment, people taking your possessions away from you. And if you didn't face it, your friends did. So everybody in the church has either experienced this directly or they have experienced this through their friend who's going through all of this. And the message here is you did it. You stood through that. You made it through that. And he says, because you know that you yourself have a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Listen, he's saying, when things are as bad as they can get, you can be confident that you have a future possession. So don't lose your confidence. Don't lose that confidence that you had when you were going through all the difficult stuff. He said, you could do this. For you need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, the coming one will come and not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. So what he's saying is, when the world is not as it should be, or whenever the world is not as you think the world should be, your primary job is faith. It's faith. It's all you got to do. Now, hold on to that as we jump to the book of Romans. In Romans, it says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and also to the Greeks, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." It's the same message of Habakkuk. In the end, something is happening. Evil will get God's wrath in the end. So, in light of that, when things don't make sense to you, live by faith. I love how Paul says it here. What does he say? He says, live from faith to faith. The beginning and the end of your spiritual journey is faith. Faith isn't just the starting thing that starts your walk with Jesus. It's what starts everything, and it's what ends everything. It's everything in between. And when you don't have faith in a moment, you're like, I just am really struggling. I don't have faith right now because of the circumstances around me. What does he say? He says, live from faith to faith. So look back to when you had faith and go, oh, I had faith. I can stand confidently in that faith. So I had faith, so I can have faith. So leap from faith to faith to faith to faith. Now let's go to Galatians. In the book of Galatians, it says this, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." And so when Habakkuk was hearing from God, and God was saying, listen, in the circumstances that you're facing, I just need you to have faith. You can be egotistical and have inflated ego, thinking you know better than I do, or in the circumstances of life, the season you are in right now, you can have faith knowing I am doing something in the future, and the righteous will live by faith. What he didn't know is the faith has a name, and that name is Jesus. He didn't realize it was about, see, what Habakkuk was doing was the same game that we always play, this binary comparison game. And his game was this: Israel good, Chaldeans bad. Isn't that how he explained it to God? He's like, can't you see, God? Israel's good, Chaldeans bad. Don't you understand this? And what Paul says is, go ahead and try to live by the law that I gave Israel, because you can't do it. And everyone fails at keeping the law. So what that means is, this whole category over here gets smooshed over to this category. Y'all are bad. So when you're trying to say, why do I use evil in the world? I use evil in the world because that's all of y'all. If I'm going to use any of you, I'm going to use someone who's evil, because you all have evil. He's like, it's all together in one. The Chaldeans and you and me and Israel, all of them start out as evil. And the only way to live righteously is to live by faith in the only one who ever kept the law, in Jesus. All right, so this is where my crazy brain goes. In Habakkuk, because I'm reading it. We're now catching up to chapter 3. Habakkuk says to God, there's violence in this world, and you're not saving anybody. And then he's like, there's injustice in the world, and I'm forced to watch it, and there's wrongdoing, and you seem to tolerate it, and then there's oppression and strife and conflict, and I can't find you anywhere, God. And God says, listen, I am doing something that you are not going to believe when I show it to you. And then he tells him, and he goes like, yep, totally don't believe that. And then he mansplains to God, I know better than you do. And God says, you have two choices. You can be egotistical, thinking you know how to handle this, or you can have faith. And then Hebrews tells us that faith helps us go through the difficult seasons. And when we've gone through them, we can stand confidently knowing we've been able to do that. And Romans tells us it's from faith to faith. That faith adds to faith. The faith is our journey. We always live by faith. And Galatians gives us the name of the one that we have faith in, Jesus. I don't know what season of life you're in right now. I don't know if it's new. I don't know if something unusual is coming. I don't know if it's a new job, new relationship, graduation from high school or college or medical school or law school or weddings or vacations or the kids home for the summer. I don't know what it is. But if Habakkuk could face evil, true evil, by faith, you can face that thing. You can face the new job by faith. You can face the new relationship or the new lack of relationship by faith. I can take a sabbatical by faith. So I hit chapter 3. And I see Habakkuk, in a sense, taking a big breath. He exhales it. And this is what he says to God. Chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, I have heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. Revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years. And in your wrath, remember mercy. Now, I breezed over that verse the first couple times I read it. And the third time when I hit it, I was like, wow. Because here's what I think Habakkuk is saying. I think he's saying, God, I've heard about you. It's like a broken record. Like, I've heard this message. I've heard this over and over. But like, today, right now, it just clicked. And now I stand in awe. Like, I'm finally starting to see how you're working all of this stuff out together. I see that you are doing something. So what does he say? Revive your work in these years. Do it. God, do it. You say you're up to something? Do it. Do that thing that you said you're going to do somewhere in the future. Just make it known in these years. And then he's like, and God, in your wrath, would you remember mercy? It's like he's reminding God of God's character in this. And then I almost see him taking another big breath because he prays a beautiful poetic prayer that comes in the format of a song. And so I think what that means is they ended up writing this into a song that they would all sing. I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to read it to you. He says, God comes from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens and the earth is full of his praise. His brilliance is like light rays are flashing from his hand. This is where his power is hidden. Plague goes out before him and pestilence follows in his steps. He stands and shakes the earth. He looks and startles the nations. The age-old mountains break apart. The ancient hills sink down. His pathways are ancient. I see the tents of Cushan in distress and the tent curtains of the land of Midian tremble. Are you angry at the rivers, Lord? Is your wrath against the rivers? Or is your rage against the sea when you ride on your horses, your victorious chariot? You took a sheath from your bow and arrows are ready to be used with an oath. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains see you and shudder. A downpour of water sweeps by. The deep roars with its voice and lifts its waves high. Sun and moon stand still in their lofty residence. At the flash of your flying arrows, at the brightness of your shining spear, you march across the earth with indignation. You trample down the nations in wrath. You come out to save your people, to save your anointed. You crush the leader of the house of the wicked and strip him from foot to neck. You pierce his head with his own spears. His warriors storm out to scatter us, gloating as if ready to secretly devour the weak. You tread the sea with your horses, stirring up the vast water. Now, if you've been in the series, you know that sounds a lot like some of the Psalms. It sounds a lot like a lot of the prophets. It sounds in a sense like a broken record, like we've heard this again and again and again and again. But it's what he says next that is most striking. He said this, I heard, in other words, I heard who you were, God, and I trembled within. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled where I stood, and now I must quietly wait for the day of distress. See that? To come against the people invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there's no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. What a difference this dude is from the dude in the first verse, right? What happened? It's like he's saying, God, because of who you are, because today I got it. Because I'd heard about you. I'd heard this broken record over and over. I've heard this again and again. Today, it clicked. And now I stand in awe of you. And he says, this is how grand you are, God. I because of who you are, I can choose faith. I can have faith. I can stand here knowing that the day of distress is coming. I could stand here knowing that the invasion is coming, that the drought is coming, and I can face them all with faith. I can celebrate, I can rejoice, because you make my feet like those of a deer. In Michigan, we would say, leaping over the hood of my car. Right? The lightness, how different that is. God, you make me like the deer just scampering up the mountain, just leaping from faith to faith. I can face this season. I can face this by faith because of who you are, God, and because you are in control. I'm going to close by praying some of Habakkuk's prayer here for us out of chapter 3. So would you bow your heads and we'll pray? Heavenly Father, we heard and we trembled within. Our lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered our bones. We trembled where we stood. And now we must quietly wait for the day of distress to come against the people invading us. We wait for the new job. We wait for the new relationship. We wait for the graduation. We wait for the wedding. We wait for the vacation. We wait for the kids coming home. We will celebrate in the Lord. We will rejoice in the God of our salvation. The Lord, our God, is our strength. He makes our feet like those of a deer, enables us to walk on mountain heights. We thank you for this truth, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.